Abram had one child. Abraham had a promised son by Sarah, and then he had children by another woman. That means that all nations can come in and be covered under the covenant. Ishmael's kids are covered under a covenant. We preach that. Okay, they have a covenant. They have a promise. They have a way to get back. I mean, you know, they're a wild child, but they're over there fighting. But you know what? God gave them a promise. Okay, because they come through Abram under a permissive promise. Everything with Abram was permissive. Everything with Abraham after the change was the perfect will of God, because that was the promised child, Isaac. There was only one child promised to Abraham, any of them. That was one. That was Isaac. Okay? And through Isaac comes all this that we're talking about here in Psalms and all that. So it's very important. And then the ones he had later means that all the rest of them can come in. It didn't work last week, and I don't see it working this week either. We don't have Bob here. We got Brother Luis with us. Maybe he can take care of all this junk. I have no audio. Huh? No? You don't know anything about that yet? You will. Don't worry. How about... well. It's recording, and it's recording up here, so let's not worry about that. All right, let's get started. But I want to read this. Sister Frieda asked, what is circumcision? What's the spiritual type of circumcision? Now, all of you know what that is that correct? We're all adults in here. We know that the male's born with excess foreskin on his private parts, and it's just there. And God gave Israel a promise. Abraham a promise. Hang on a minute, I'll find the quote. Here in just a second. There we go. Here's your type. The Holy Ghost is circumcision. What circumcision do? Cuts off surplus flesh. All the things of the world. It circumcises you away from the things of the world, the love of the world, the love of the flesh, the pride of life. It just circumcises you from that. You have nothing to do with it. It does it itself. Now, this is the spiritual application, okay? Back in the Old Testament, under the bulls and goats, what we were just talking about, the law couldn't do away with sin, right? So it covered sin. So sin was still there. But a man like Abraham and Isaac and all those coming down through there could prove that they were under the covenant of circumcision by showing it. Remember I told you last Sunday, you could physically go around, you know, the priest could go in the back corner and you could say, look, I'm a Jew. Okay, so you're covered under the covenant. And you know, that was so strong until it came down to the New Testament, even after Jesus left, even after the Holy Ghost came. Peter and Paul, some of them brought Timothy or one of them into the temple, and he wasn't circumcised because he was a Gentile. Most Gentiles weren't circumcised because they didn't know anything about it. They were just fleshly, worldly people, okay? Same way with here. If you're uncircumcised now, but now remember, Paul said it's not circumcision or uncircumcision now of the flesh, but it's a circumcision of the heart, which what? Works its way out into the flesh. Takes that excess flesh away. In other words, this is kind of funny if you'll think about it, but Abraham was 99 years old. He circumcised himself. He walked different. You understand what I'm talking about? Same way with Joshua. When Joshua went over into the promised land, before he went into the promised land, he said, wait a minute. He said, we've got all these kids under 20 years old that's never been circumcised. So he took all them kids, 20 years old, males, circumcised every one of them. And the Bible said 3 days. They stayed in their tent. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you women probably don't, but you men know what I'm talking about. It'd be real hard to circumcise somebody, especially yourself, at 99 years old. But it makes you walk different. So there's the whole... God had to bring something natural. Okay? Because they spoke natural and carnal in the Old Testament. Do's and don'ts. You do this, don't do this. Don't do this, don't do that. All right? They spoke carnal. So God had to speak carnal to them. Give them an outside showing. Right? Give them an outside showing. But now, once it come by the new birth, now it's an inside showing, but it doesn't do away with circumcision. It just makes it a spiritual application coming back out, and then it takes the excess of this guy, your whole flesh, and does away with the old part, or the excess flesh, that really does no good. There's no good to that excess piece of flesh. It's just thrown away. All right, so that's the same thing with here. That excess, when God circumcises your heart, tosses out the old stuff, and you're a new creature. You walk different. Okay? Your walk is definitely different. So I just wanted to let Brother Branham, there's a bunch down through here. You'll look over there to the side. The seal of circumcision and all that. But this is, I love this where you can just sit and put the word in, and man, it just pops up, and you got all these 175 quotes where Brother Branham talks about circumcision. The table. Phones also. Yeah, I've got it on my phone. It's for your iPhone, but it is for your tablet. But you can put it on your computer too, right? But it's different. It's the message folio view. Folio view. Okay. But this one is just for a tablet or your phone. Right, and it's wonderful. And it's quick. Really quick. Because, I mean, I pulled up 175 quotes just like that. I mean, it's real fast. Used to 20 years ago, if you'd have put in circumcision, you could have went and got coffee and had a circumcision and come back, and they still would have not been done. Daddy put in a quote one time, and it was like 3,000 quote, 3,000 times Brother Ram said it. Took a half a day for that thing to load up. All the quotes. He went and done something, went out and worked, and did something and come back, and it was still loading up. But now, man, you just punch that button, it's on there. That's correct. It had to be natural. Everything in the Old Testament had to be a natural application because there were prophets. There were Isaiah and all the ones that could understand spiritual things, but that was one prophet. To a nation of millions of people, that was one prophet. Even kings had a problem a lot of times. Look at David, like Brother Danny was preaching the other night. David had problems as a king and as a human being. But without the new birth, that's what you're always going to lean toward the flesh without the new birth. You know that as well as I do. Hello? We all lean to the flesh first before the new birth. All right? Because that's why we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we needed to be born again. What? The old flesh cut off and then have a new walk in Christ. So that was one of the, that was a couple of questions, and then now let's go to the, I want to get to the Sister Shepherd's dream. Brother Luis and Sister Christine, we've been on the Statue of a Perfect Man. This is now number 57. So we've been doing this since last Christmas, I think. And we really are, we're getting to a point to where now I think it's going to take the Holy Ghost to do this for us. Because, get to the dream. Sister Shepherd had a dream. Now, Brother Brown didn't cover this dream in the Statue of a Perfect Man. Why? I don't think he put them together all right at first. But once he preached the Statue of a Perfect Man, and then he goes and preaches blasphemous names a week later, he looks back on that dream and God brings it to his memory, because I think she had the dream before he preached Statue of a Perfect Man. But remember, nobody had ever taught this like this before. Now, Peter said, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Sure. He was adding the virtues. But now as far as putting this together and sealing it with the Holy Ghost, and because remember, the headstone hadn't come. Sure, he was Jesus Christ, but when he left, he took that with him. Okay? He was the headstone. Sure, he sent back a little bit on the day of Pentecost. He sent back what? The cornerstone. Okay? The bottom part, the corner. We were talking about that the other day. You know, if you make a little line right here, there's your cornerstone. It's the same thing as this. And this is a little pyramid in itself. So, you know, and we may get into this after we finish this. I preached a sermon on it several years ago. But you got justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't stop there, right? You still have to add the virtue. So you start with justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Second stage coming in. Then right here, when the capstone comes, it's a higher form of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't get past those three things every step you make. Because remember, this part of justification down here, yeah, you did it. You did it. And you know you did it. Right? Nobody's got to tell you you did it. You know you did it because you did it. Okay? But now you come on up here a little bit further, you see that true justification is the real you didn't do it. Okay? The one that came from God, that Holy Ghost, that Logos that came down and became a part of your life, it never sinned a day in its life. But you got to realize all up through here that when that comes right there, the real you never done it to start with. And you got to see that. And you'll know that the real you, all those things are, Paul says, the former things have passed away, or John did, the former things have passed away, all things have become what? New. Okay? That is when this comes. You say, well, we're down here. Yeah, it's going to happen here. For the people who take a body change, it's going to happen right here. We're not going to get a body change in the future home. No, we're going to get our body changed right here. Even the ones that die are going to resurrect, get a new body, same body, redeemed. And you got to have it to get there. Because this, remember, flesh and blood, the Bible says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. What? The flesh and blood that Samuel and Peggy Dale gave me will not make it there. That's why they call it a change. You have to be changed. Your atoms have to be changed. Your whole being has to be changed. And you know what? Then you can say, I've been circumcised. You can say, yeah, I've been circumcised and come into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. And right here, remember in this dream, Sister Shepherd saw trash coming out of the box. So you still got trash in here. Amen? God's still working on me. Right? I die daily, Paul said. Well, that's what Paul was saying. I die to my knowledge every day. I die to my temperance every day. I die to my patience. Because these are not my virtues. They're his virtues. That when they're applied to me, they become mine. I love that quote where Brother Brown says, this is my eye. God gave it to me. Well, see, it was God's. He gave it to him. But once you give it to somebody, and then Brother Brown will say, God's not an Indian giver. Well, he's not doing that just to fill up tape space. He's telling you that when God gives you something, this is my eye. God gave it to me, so it's mine. So God gives, right, for eternity. So the new birth, when it comes to me, sure, it's God's new birth, but it's mine when I get it. Because remember, Brother Brown said it's you and him in there as person. Vulcanized. When he says vulcanized, that when you vulcanize something, you can't see the seam. You can't see where he was and where you were. See, that's up here. That's really showing that God's in here. Because remember, that's what we're going to talk about if we ever get to it. This Holy Spirit, Brother Brown said, it molds and seals all this in. Because we still got cracks. We got cracks in our patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, stuff like that. We got cracks. But now when we have the true brotherly kindness like Brother Branham had, he'll seal it in. Brother Branham, you know, they always said that you couldn't tell who his enemies or his friends were. Well, now you know what? You stay around me long enough, you're going to know who I like and who I don't like. Same way with you. All of you. Some more than others. So, see, some are growing more than others. God will tell you where you're at. He'll send somebody by just to show. He'll cut you off in traffic just to see how your temperance is. He will do it. Brother Branham said, God will put somebody in your way and say something out of the way to see how you'll react. Now, God knows how you're going to react, but you don't know how you're going to react. But once you do, like that when that guy slapped Daddy down at General Motors, well, he knew then. When he come to that place, he knew then that his temperance had come to a place where it wasn't before. Well, see, then you can glory in that and know that you're at least going up. You know? He's going to try your temperance and patience. We've already been through these two things. These two go together. And they're hard. Okay? They're real hard to get through. But you know what? The 120 in the upper room got through it. Women and men. So we can get through it. We've got more word than they've got. We got more word than they have in the 120 in the upper room. Sorry, we do. But right here is what our goal is. Our goal is here. Well, let's finish. Let's read a little bit more. All right, let's read paragraph 128. I changed the fonts. Can you see those a little bit better, sir? Okay. Can you see a little bit better? I changed the fonts a little bit more so you can a little more plain. Brother Brown said, I'm an old man. Now, he's talking about brotherly kindness because, look, without this thing right here, here is our key. Because if we don't have this sealed in, this is not going to come like it should. Now, remember, you get the Holy Ghost down here. You get the new birth. You're part of the kingdom. You're part of the body of Christ. You're a son and daughter of God. But you're a spirit baby. You're a baby down here. A babbling, crying, father, father. That's what the Bible says. You get the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Well, now look. You don't cry up here. No, ain't no crying up here. This is a mature person. This is somebody who knows how to handle the Word of God. Because remember, you get power down here. Power with character is fit to rule. Power without character is satanic, so you can't come to this place. Okay? Power with character, these are character builders, is fit to rule. Power without character is satanic. Now, that doesn't mean you got Satan in your soul. But it means that there's some things you can't get rid of. And you've got to get rid of these. Which part do you want me to say? You say it. Power without character is satanic. That means that you've got part of... You don't have Satan in your soul, but Satan can get into that realm of memory, reason, consciousness. Hey, listen, people. He plays in that, really. Listen to me. Memory, reason... Conscious, affection, imagination. Now, that's the devil's playground. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear ain't got nothing to do with the devil. That's just to contact this world, is what the prophet said. That's why Adam was put in a flesh body in five senses to see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, through that filter coming down to memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, that's where Satan can get to. But he can't get in that center realm. That center realm is what it's faith or doubt. Or fear or faith. That's in the center realm. There's only two characteristics in that center realm. Fear or faith. Now, not like the fear like Ryan had. Ryan had fear because of... And I told him, I said, look. I said, the doctor's doing what they can do because this is flesh. The doctors can work on this flesh. That's what they're put here for. Okay? But they can't do anything with your spirit and your soul. That has to come from God. It has to be influenced by you. When you walk into that room and you have fear, the first thing that baby's going to feel is they're going to feel that fear. First thing a person's going to feel. When you walk in that room, you're going to feel fear. If there's fear there. And there was. Okay? But when you take that and say, just don't fear. Walk in, you know what? You have to be like Abraham. Abraham didn't have a baby for 25 years. Think of it, people. Some of y'all had been alive 25 years. Or been brain dead for a few before that. Now you sound a little bit alive, but okay. Really? I mean, you're brain dead till you're about 30 anyway. Amen? That's what I thought. Everybody's going to agree with that, because I was. Even born again, you do things as a young adult that you really wouldn't do when you're older. What was I talking about? What was I talking about? Oh, fear. The baby, or any situation you have, and I don't want people to think that I'm arrogant, but when you just have so much faith and you just don't let something bother you. Abraham had so much faith that things didn't bother him. Because remember, 25 years down the road, he knew he couldn't perform. You understand what I'm saying? Naturally. So he got to a point and said, okay, God, you're going to have to do it. Because I can't do it anymore. Because remember, he tried with Ishmael. He could produce. Remember, Abram could produce a child. But when he got to Abraham, it had to be God to change that man back. So that's the same way with you and I, because every son of the faith is going to go through this final journey, which in the end, you're going to have to just look at any situation. It's not going to matter how many tubes was in that baby. Doesn't matter how much drugs. That was just for this thing. That was just for this thing. Got it? That was for this thing. That is circumstances. That's something you see, but your reasoning reasons that there's a problem there. But God says, hey, I got the spirit and soul. And that baby can't have faith. Baby can't have faith. So the doctors are doing all they can to keep that spirit inside that baby. Think about that. The doctors are doing all they can to keep that spirit inside that baby. But your faith is what's going to have to produce that healing of that child. So it doesn't matter how many tattoos, earrings, addicts, drunks, just name everything. Wives, children, yeah. Sunday school people, preachers. Now, anything. We look at those memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, and that's what Satan can grab a hold of. That's where he walks around in. Because remember, he reminds me of the things I did before. But now remember, that doesn't ever come before God. I'm forgiven down here of my past sin. They will never be forgiven. They'll be forgotten. They're forgiven. I'm sorry. But now remember, in justification, the next day you may smoke another cigarette or curse or whatever you did before. Now God starts recording that again. Everybody understand that? God starts recording that again. Because it only, justification down here only forgives you of your past sin. From that day you said, God, forgive me, he'll forgive you, and he won't ever remember that again. But now, the next week, Brother Bram said, remember, the unclean spirit is still in there. He has to be driven out. All right? So you still smoke, drink, cuss, and do the things of the world. That starts a recording again. Because I believe there's a lot of people been justified. And there's a point in there that I think that if they died and God give them grace, and if they passed away, that they'd be given eternal life later on. Because those who he's justified, he's already glorified. You got to remember that. All right? But true justification leads you to the Holy Ghost. God knows that that true justification is going to take you through the steps, and then the next step is sanctification, where the unclean spirit is driven out. See, everybody thinks, boy, I don't cuss or drink no more because I'm born again. No, I ain't got one thing to do with it. You should have got that over in sanctification. True sanctification showed me that those things were gone, and I didn't have to go through them anymore. That unclean spirit was gone out of me, and I did not have that desire. Now look, it doesn't mean that if, and God help me, I chewed tobacco for 14 or 15 years. So once God saved my soul that night up here, he saved me. He didn't fill me with the Holy Ghost. He saved me. Got it? He saved me. That desire was gone. I believe he justified and sanctified me the same night. Why? Because I had had a background. I knew the Word of God. I knew what justification was. I knew what sanctification was. Just like these people on the day of Pentecost, 120 in the upper room weren't born again walking with Jesus, but Jesus had been planting the Word in their heart for 3.5 years. So they knew once that came, quickened what was already in them. Now see, the 3,000 downstairs didn't get that because they'd never heard. Who is this Jesus? Who is this man you're talking about? But we believe. We're pricked in our hearts. We'll see. They started down here. They started right here. That's why on the day of Pentecost there was two births. Same birth, two different stages. 3,000 downstairs became spirit babies in Christ. Men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? Well, now Peter, when the Holy Ghost fell on Peter, he didn't walk out and say, men and brethren, what do we got to do to be saved? No, he was the one that knew what he had to do, what they had to do to be saved. So they were right here. Because God had tutored them, 120 in the upper room, faith of the Father. Got it? 3,000 downstairs was like me and you. Okay? Especially the ones that had never heard of the Word or never been brought up in the message. Never heard a thing, just came off the street. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost has to be a process. You have a question? The Word. The Word is the only thing that will drive an unclean spirit out. You can pray it. Remember Brother Branham? He prayed for that woman, prayed for that woman. He went way back in her life. She had left something off that she didn't get forgiven for. So that was a block in her life. But remember the husband and wife that happened to? Remember she said, he's got something to confess to you? But remember, if you'll keep reading on a couple of times, he makes that point. One time he comes and meet us and said, well, how are they? He said, they're fine. He said, they're fully restored. In other words, back in church. Well, see, that was all that unclean spirit. Everything, maybe they didn't have the new birth. Maybe they did then. We don't know. Brother Brown, you stay under the fountain, and it'll wash you. Washed by the water of the Word. The Bible says, and I can't remember if it's in John or somewhere, do you remember where it says, the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places. But remember, Matthew, but remember, and we're going long, I'm sorry, remember, in sanctification, Satan can come back to you. Because remember, that one spirit brings seven more of his buddies. Worse than he is, because he brings his religious friends with him this time. Sanctification is the most wonderful place you can be, but it's the most horrible place that if you get stuck there, you're not born again, and if you die, you got to go on your work then. Only by the new birth will you not have to worry about your work. Amen? Justification, sanctification, you're going to have to stand at the white throne judgment, and you're going to have to be judged by your work. And the Bible says our works is filthy rags. But if we become born again, that unclean spirit goes out, you keep him out by staying here. The problem is, you look at some people, they'll come in here, I believe they get justified. I believe they might start working on sanctification, but what happens is, they get just enough of a religious spirit till they think they got it all, and then you don't see them anymore. That's the way it happens. I've seen it happen 10 times in this church. They think they get a little religion. Well, who is that? There's one thing for sure. If you start coming to church and then you quit church, it wasn't God. That's pretty plain. It just wasn't God. It was God there for a while. But when he brought them seven devils, his buddies, back and made you feel religious and that you can talk to God yourself and you can get it for yourself and you can do all this for yourself, that's not the prescription. The prescription says go on to the new birth. And then the faith that you have then, listen to this, the faith that you have will bring you to church. Because you know you don't have faith for yourself at that time. You have faith in God that he's bringing something to you. But now right here, I believe that's faith in yourself. What you say to this mountain. See, remember, it comes from God giving you stuff. And I don't mean stuff to be light. God giving you things. Just like we do as a child. But when we grow up, I mean, Josh is not coming home saying, fix me some breakfast. I'm crying. I'm a baby. No, he's a man. You got to be a man. You got to walk in there and say, hey, I'm a man. I can do my own thing now. That's the same way with God. God don't want you to cry to him all the time. Because right here, you are him. And what you say is going to happen. Ryan, you walk in the door and you say, look, you didn't have to walk in there and say, baby, get better. No, you just walked in with a little better attitude. With a little more faith. Positive attitude. A little more faith. You're getting ahead of the ball. Yeah. No, adoption is here. So that's what we're going to talk about later. But we got to get past this dream first. We got to go. Richard Marlowe's going to give me the bad, evil eye today. Go on. Get out of here. He always does if we get up there late. Hey, listen, read blasphemous names and read Sister Shepherd's dream. If you've got a computer, you ought to be able to have it. So read the dream. Bless you, buddy. Well, yeah, from here. From this thing. Yeah, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.